It's 2020. Looking back, did you have a good year last year? Did you have a terrible year last year? Did some things happen and you go, why me? Why that? How do we understand what was a good and a bad year? And then looking ahead, how do we figure out this year? Let's talk about it right here, right now. Join us on the corner of truth and life. Welcome to the corner of truth and life. This is Ira Hall, and it's 2020, and it's the beginning of a whole new year and a whole new decade. Well, I guess that depends on how you count the decades. There's some people going around saying, oh, no, wait, the decade doesn't start till year one, which would mean that we've got another year to go in this decade. But others, of course, like to go with the big numbers, so now we are in the 20s. So, you know what? I really don't care either way. I tend to lean towards the decade starting on the zero year. And then people point out, well, the first year didn't start at zero. Well, that's true. There was never a year zero, even though now there's a year 10 and a year 20. But there was never a year zero. But they came up with that afterwards. They counted backwards and said, well, let's start back there and started with year one. So I just like to think the first decade is a year short, and that this starts the new decade. But however you'd like to do it, it's definitely a new year. Whether it's a new decade or not, I guess is up to you. But the tens is over either way, and we're into the 20s now. But I am not into my 20s. My birthday is very, very close to the new year, and so I tend to have a new year start around the same time as the rest of the planet starts their new year, or most of the planet. I know Chinese New Year is a different time, but that's a different thing. But anyway, I started a new year, and I'm at one of those years that has a zero at the end of it, too. And this was the big one for me as I turned 50. Oh, boy. And never thought, you know, when you're young, you don't think about getting older. You always kind of see yourself as being a young man or a young woman, and I've still thought of myself in that way quite a bit, especially because, you know, my children are still at home. I still have a young child. And so it's easy to forget that time is marching on, but then they start putting candles on the birthday cake and you realize, oh, time has marched on. And so 50 is one of those times when you tend to look back at your life because, you know, I just have to be honest and realize that there's more years behind me than in front of me now. Don't really love that thought, but it is what it is and something that I need to face and cope. And so we evaluate, we look back and we say, well, did I have a good year? Have I had a good life so far? Good things, bad things. And how do I evaluate? How do I understand whether it was a good year or a bad year and why? So what was your year like? And when you try to put a label on it of a good year or a bad year, how do you arrive at that label? How do you determine which it is? And that's a tough one. And I'm not going to try to completely unpack that today because a lot is going to depend on what criteria you use, whether you know, is it a good year because you made more money? Is it a good year because you made more friends? Is it a good year because you learned more? Is it a bad year because something bad happened in your life, something that was a negative, you know, a death in the family, a divorce, a lost job, an economic setback? You know, what constitutes good and bad? And there's a lot of different ways we can look at it, and then we can argue over it. And I don't think that arguing over that is particularly helpful or good. Instead, we have to decide, well, how am I going to understand that? And of course, because this is the corner of truth and life, we want to say, well, does the Bible give me a criteria that I might use to put my life in perspective and understand the things that have happened to me. And the Apostle Paul, he talked about his past. And he had been, before he became the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle Saul, we always call him the Apostle Paul, because in most of his letters, he calls himself Paul, because that was the Greek form of his name. And he was oftentimes writing to churches in the empire, the Roman Empire. And Paul talked about how he had been very proud of his Jewish heritage and training. And he talks about that, you know, I was so good this way. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, he says. And I had all this great education, and I was a Pharisee, and I knew the law, and I was a good Hebrew. I was a good Jew in the religious sense. But he makes an interesting observation, and he says, so he goes, as for zeal, you know, how intense was I? He goes, well, I was a persecutor of the church. And as I thought about that phrase that he uses as he's talking about his past, and that one of the things on his resume is that he persecuted the church, it reminded me that in the book of Acts, we have a record of what he was doing, and that persecution was intense. He was fervent. And our first view of him is when he is participating in some way. The Bible says he was holding the coats of, and so does that mean that he was still kind of learning, or he was the leader behind it? But either way, it's the stoning of Stephen, the disciple Stephen, who had preached a great message about Jesus dying and being crucified, and they stoned him to death. They threw rocks at him until he died. And Saul's there, and it says that he not only was in favor of it, he was giving hearty approval. He was urging them on. So he was an accomplice to murder. And then it says that he went on to, he was dragging people out of their homes, women and children. And it says that he was breathing threats and murder. So he was killing people. He was killing Christians. He was killing Jews that had converted to the Jesus as Messiah. And he was killing them or throwing them in prison. If you were a Christian, this was a terrible guy. And then he converted himself and becomes a guy who's planting churches, who comes and is helping people come to know the Jesus that he had been killing people for claiming. And so when he looks back over his resume and talks about all the things that were on his resume, murder was on his resume. And so then he looks back over this resume and being such a good, devout Jew, but also being a murderer. And he says, you know what? Whatever was of gain to me, and in fact everything, I consider loss. I consider garbage compared to now knowing Jesus. And so he's not just putting aside all the good stuff. That's his biggest talk about, because all of us, we want to focus more on the good stuff than the bad stuff. But he says, first he says, everything that was gained to me. And then he says, but even everything. So now he's including what we would call the bad stuff, you know, because murder is generally a bad thing, right? And he says, I count it all as loss so that rather I would know Jesus. And he doesn't talk about serving Jesus. He goes on to talk about then service after knowing Jesus, service because he knows Jesus. But his goal and what how he's evaluating things is saying, well, that I would know him. And when I look back over my life, I find that that's a very different way to look at even my life than I might. Because I want to tend to look back at what I did. And what I did what I do matter? And did I do the right things? And did I do enough of the right things? And then when I look at things that happened to me, I say, well, what was the purpose of that? And or why did I suffer that? Or we don't usually ask why good things happened. We're just glad they did. But if I look back over the last year, or for me, the last 50 years, do I look at my life as an unfolding of getting to know God through Jesus more? That everything that has happened, that the main goal, what mattered, what really counts is those things, whether things I did or things that happened to me, was the end result that I knew Him more. Because then everything can be a good thing if the good thing is knowing Him. Because terrible times, like I look back over people I've lost, including, you know, my father back 8 years ago, my aunt, my grandparents back even further, friends, people from church who have died. Looking at setbacks when friends turned on me, when I suffered betrayals or hurts. Did these things help me come to know Jesus more? And yeah, a lot of them did. It was in those moments that I had to face Him. And that turned them into good things. They were not pleasant things. They were not good in and of themselves. They were bad moments. And they hurt, and I didn't enjoy them. They were not pleasurable. But they did result in a good thing. And that's the thing that Paul says, that the value of knowing God, knowing Jesus. And that puts everything in that's a new perspective, a new paradigm, a new framework in which to understand my life. Do I know Him better? And then I don't have to worry about, did I pile up accomplishments? Or did I have a big pile of setbacks? But did I come out of it with a greater understanding and intimacy and knowledge of Him? Because that's always possible. And then I can begin to understand the verse. It says, God causes all things to work together for the good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. It's not the good as far as something always pleasurable or enriching on the personal side, but that I would be enriched in my knowledge of Him. So what kind of year have you had? Do you look at the year and think of it primarily in terms of you, either what you accomplished or what happened to you? Whether it made you better, whether it made you feel better, whether it made you happier, whether it made you richer, whether it made you sadder. Is your determination of a good or bad year all about you? Or can you change your focus to say, well, wait, what about Him? He loves me. Do I know Him better? Have I found an identity in Him that will give me a whole new perspective on life? Happy New Year. Think about it. Thank you for listening to The Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.